a man who can only be called a genius, Josiah Gorgas, the Confederacy did. He was a northerner living in the South. He presided over the Confederate ordnance effort, and he kept ordnance flowing to Southern armies. The South melted church bells down on occasion to turn them into cannons. The women even were on occasion were asked to save the contents of their chamber pots to be collected by government agents, and those contents then leached to extract the niter to produce gunpowder. Stills were seized to be melted down for their copper, a tremendous hardship on some localities to see a really treasured still go. But anything for the cause, I suppose, was the attitude among many of the Confederates. A huge powder mill was built at Augusta, Georgia. In fact, it was the largest in North America. There was no powder mill as large in the North. Arsenals and ironworks were built in Selma, Alabama. During 1863, more than 10,000 people in Selma were engaged in war-related production. 10,000 workers in Selma, Alabama. There were also arsenals and ironworks in Richmond and Charleston and other places. Many women were employed in these war industries in the Confederacy. Many of them made wrapped the paper cartridges that the soldiers would carry. That involved close handwork, and women performed a lot of that. 69 women were killed in March of 1863 when an ordnance laboratory exploded in Richmond, Virginia. It's really quite a record that the agricultural, rural South compiled in the area of gearing up to reach a war industry level that would support the massive armies that they had in the field. Quite astonishing and quite effective. In 1864, for example, Alabama produced four times as much iron as any state in the antebellum years had produced. But it's nothing like the Northern war machine, of course. Northern industry far exceeded the Confederates, and it didn't take the heroic efforts to put it in place in the North. The industry was already in place. It just needed to be retooled in many cases. Now, Northern armies almost always had abundant ordnance and almost always had very high-quality ordnance. There's only a difference in quality, not in quantity. So if you're a Confederate soldier, you can count on having enough powder. You can count on having enough ammunition. If you're a gunner, it might not be very good ammunition. What about commissary, that is food, and quartermaster, clothing dimensions of this? Here the North had a distinct advantage. The breakdown of the Southern rail system as the war went on, the loss of food growing areas to advancing Union armies, but especially the breakdown of the transportation infrastructure, which prevented the delivery of food from areas where it could be grown to areas where it was needed, really hurt the Confederacy. Lee's army, for example, went long stretches with a daily ration of 2 to 4 ounces of meat and a pint of cornmeal. That meat was often fat bacon. That's the pre-cooked weight of that ration. Many of the soldiers didn't even cook their meat ration because it essentially cooked away. So they would eat either raw or just barely cooked bacon with their cornmeal. It was a very rough diet. There were not heavy Confederate soldiers. Very early into the war, it was a very lean group of men. Their calorie intake was quite low. Northern soldiers fed much better. On the whole, clothing was also better for the typical Northern soldier. Confederates often suffered from shortages of shoes, not to the degree that many of the accounts would make you think. Most Confederate soldiers had shoes. Northern soldiers had better shoes generally, and less often lacked shoes altogether. The Northern Army really represents the beginning of another trend in United States military history, which is to produce massive quantities of goods, so many that there was tremendous wastage. But your armies were almost always better clothed and fed and provisioned than your opponent. As one Union general admitted somewhat sheepishly, a French army half the size of ours could be supplied with what we waste. Many other armies that have fought the United States in the 20th century, I think, could make that same claim. The Northern war economy, as I said, proved perfectly capable of providing all of these things while at the same time providing the consumer goods. So overall, Union soldiers were a bit better armed, often a bit better fed, sometimes much more than a bit better, and also better clothed than their Southern counterparts. And although the South never lost a battle for want of arms or powder or sufficient food and clothing, I think it's fair to say that superior supply must be counted as a factor that ultimately helped tip the balance of the war in favor of the North.